Grace, mercy, and peace be yours through God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. What's the end game? Have you ever heard that phrase before? Maybe you've asked it from time to time. What's the end game? Your manager at work comes in to share a new procedure for getting some facet of your work together done. But what's the end game? Will this procedure get us to the goal of fulfilling our mission more fully or more efficiently? Your doctor assesses your health and he or she decides to prescribe a new medication. What's the end game? Will this change bring me closer to the goal of wellness? Does it address one issue but perhaps complicate another? What's the intended result? Cyber Monday is tomorrow. And across your email and web browser will come all sorts of shiny new gadgets to be purchased for yourself or for someone else. But what's the end game? Do I really need to pull the trigger on that item? Is it going to be good for me or for someone else? Will it add value to my way of life or to theirs? Today is the last Sunday of the church year, a day on which we are invited, yes, I think compelled, to seek answers to ultimate questions. The calendar keeps on churning. Seasons come and seasons go. But what's the end game? Generation after generation, people are born, we live, we experience joy and sadness, we die. But what's the end game? What's the story? And where is it heading? Is there ultimate meaning to any of it? And if there is, how does it affect the way that I see my life and my callings today? There's a great Greek word that shows up at various places in the Bible. And it shows up today in the reading that we heard from 1 Corinthians 15, near the beginning of verse 24. The word is telos, telos. In this verse, and in other places in the New Testament, it is translated as end. But the idea behind telos is not just that we've come to a stopping point. The idea is that we've arrived at the hoped-for destination. We've come to the completion or to the fulfillment of a purpose. So Paul can use the word here in 1 Corinthians 15 to describe what it means for the world to come to its intended fulfillment. And elsewhere, in places such as Colossians chapter 1, verse 28, he can use that same word or a variation of it to describe what God's intended purpose is for you. And for me, it's one of my favorite verses in the Bible. This is what Paul says in Colossians 1, verse 28. He says, "We proclaim him, Jesus, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, so that we may present every man complete, teleon, in Christ." The ESV and the NIV translate that same word as mature. And you get the idea with either translation choice that as we continue to be taught and instructed in the word about Jesus, God will use that word to make us fully the people he intends us to be. We won't be done as people. In other words, it's not that we stop being people. Rather, we will be complete, mature, ready to function at full blast as the people of God are meant to function. And this is the way that we are to understand what's going on with the world as God speaks to us through Paul's words in 1 Corinthians 15. In the present age, we do not experience life in the world as it will be when God brings it to its fulfillment. For example, there are all sorts of forces at work in the present age which war against God's will and His purposes for our lives. The evil one is constantly tempting us and the people around us to chase after one idol or another. And as we do so, we do damage to ourselves and to one another, physically, emotionally, relationally, and spiritually. In this age, we experience misfortune, pain, and loss. We get hurt or we get sick. Our bodies wear out. We lose things or stuff gets stolen from us or stuff simply wears out over time. And whether our life has been rich or meager, whether it has been exciting or mundane, whether it has been largely happy or largely sad, we all come to the same end. The great enemy called death comes for all of us. We can distract ourselves for a while and convince ourselves that the projects we're working on, the efforts that we are engaged in, will bring us happiness and ultimate fulfillment. And to a degree, they can make us happy, perhaps. But ultimately, we come to find sooner or later that there is something not right, something incomplete about this present age and about our present state, something that needs to be addressed in a major way if we are going to know and experience life as God intends for us. At the heart of our true longing as human beings, I believe, are two realities. One, we were made for a person. We were made for a person. We were made to know Him, to be with Him, to experience His love and goodness, to love and to serve Him in return, and to share His life. We were made for Jesus. Two, we were made for a place where we would dwell in the presence of God, to see Him face to face, to know His love, to reflect His love back to Him and to the rest of the creation as we reign with Christ and care for all that He has made. We were made for a place, and the place is heaven. We were made for a person, Jesus. We're made for a place, heaven. As we come to understand these two foundational truths, I believe we are ready to receive the rest of the message of 1 Corinthians 15 as the good news it actually is. Verse 20 in our reading starts with the event that launches the work of God bringing us and the world to our telos, to our intended destination. And that event is the resurrection of Jesus. If Christ is raised, then you will be raised too. For as in Adam came death, and that death has touched all of our lives, so in Christ comes the resurrection from the dead, Paul says, and that promise of the defeat of death that Christ has already experienced will be yours as well on the day that He returns. Jesus has been raised. God has started His renewing work. After pointing to the death and resurrection of Jesus as the means by which God has inaugurated that renewing work, Paul goes on to show us how this work is going to sweep us up as well. If you're following along in your bulletin, I'd encourage you to do so. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 23, St. Paul writes, "But each in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, after that, those who are Christ's, at His coming." In other words, on the day that Christ the King returns, we will be raised to be like Him. Paul goes on, verse 24, then comes the end, the Greek word telos, when He hands over the kingdom to the God and Father, when He has abolished all rule and all authority and power, for He must reign until He has put all His enemies under His feet. The last enemy that will be abolished is death. In these verses, Paul is not describing how Jesus will bring us and the world to its stopping point. Rather, he's describing how Jesus will bring these things to their fulfillment. For example, Christ the King will on that day abolish all rule and all authority and power. Paul is not saying here that Jesus will come and annihilate everything. Rather, rule and authority and power are ways of talking about the forces of evil that are set up in resistance to God, His purposes, and His kingdom. Jesus will abolish those things. We and the creation around us will no longer struggle under the rule of selfish, misguided, and evil leaders. Instead, we will live under one King, one through whom and for whom we were made, King Jesus, who acts at all times for the glory of His Father. And ultimately, the last enemy that Christ the King will abolish or destroy on that day is death. That last force which stands at odds with God's purposes. That enemy that brings our lives, our relationships, and our efforts in this present age to an end. That enemy which always has the effect of cutting us off from our God-ordained telos, our means, our fulfillment. At the cross, Jesus dealt the death blow to it. Death was judged. On the third day, death was sentenced. And on that day, death itself will be executed. Death will die. It'll be gone forever. That, my friends, is no less than the hope for which we have been saved. This is what we were made and redeemed for. This is God's end game for us, His telos. And this is what Christ the King will accomplish when He returns in power and glory. So, what does this mean for us as we live as Christians today? St. Paul tells us at the very end of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, allow me to share these verses, this verse with you. St. Paul writes, "Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain." This is the secret sitting right out in the open for us Christians to discover. So much of what captures our time and attention in this life will in the end be burned up by the refining fires of judgment day, and in eternity count for nothing. But not that which is done in the Lord. But not that which is done in the name of Jesus to His glory and to reflect His goodness and His love. No, those things will count. And they will count forever. They're never in vain. Death can't cut off the good which is done in the name of the death defeater. Jesus will say, "For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." Long after we forget, God remembers and causes all of these things to last. And long after so much of what we hold dear has been burned up in the refining fire of judgment, that stuff, the stuff done in the name of the Lord Jesus, will shine as pure gold to the glory of Christ the King and for your own eternal joy. You see, my friends, God has an end game for us, and it's good. May the Holy Spirit grant us faith to stay focused on the hope set before us, that our hearts might be captivated by the coming of our King, and that hands, feet, and voices might be engaged in that never in vain work that brings glory to His holy name. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God, which transcends all our understanding, guard and keep our hearts and minds this day and always. In Christ Jesus, our returning King. Amen.